separate kingdoms. You know, this is a spiritual warfare, and the things you see on the news, we're seeing these two kingdoms collide. And one of the things that we need to do, the main thing is we need to rest in God, don't we? We need to have faith in Him, because, you know, when you watch the TV, there's just crazy stuff going on. And you know what? When you watch TV, that's not the norm, okay? When you're watching TV, that's not necessarily the norm. Because, again, it's all, we're in, like Jesus talks about, we're in the world system. And the enemy, the devil, he is the god of this world. Now, he's not God. We know Jesus has already defeated the devil, right? But the world doesn't know that. And they're living and influenced by the devil, and we see that on the nightly news every time. We see that on the internet. We see this people that have not had the revelation that Jesus Christ has delivered them. They're free from the sin and bondage, and they've been delivered. And so we look at, I want to look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. We kind of read this last week. How many have been, while you're turning there, how many have been enjoying the Year Bible? Yeah. I've been having a blast. I mean, it's just like, I've never read the Bible through in the New Living Translation, so it's kind of cool. I'm reading it like, oh, that's cool. I mean, I like, you know, source things and things like that. Mainly, I just read things through King James. But have in the past, and that's what I do all my study stuff, is everything's like, I have to filter everything through King James just because, you know. But I really enjoy that, and it's just something, it's good to just take the Bible and just filter it through. Amen? And I love it, just reading the Bible and spending time. So, yeah, it's definitely worth it. It doesn't take that much time. I mean, just a few minutes, you read through that, and you're done. And not to say that, I mean, it's a task or anything, but I'm saying it's something where you can just do your Bible reading, you know, still enjoy it, get some word in you, and move on with the rest of the day. So, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "My child, never forget the things that I've taught you. Store my commandments in your heart." Now, this is something people don't do. They're not taking the word and not storing it in their heart. "If you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you." You know, I was watching this story, and it really just, you know, sometimes you like watch the stories and it just really kind of bothers you, you know, or, you know, things that really impact you. And I was watching this story, and this little boy was getting bullied, and his father had passed away. And this little guy was in grade school, so he wasn't very old. And this bully had basically made fun of him because of his dad passing away, right? And the little boy went up to the bully's dad and confronted him and said that, and his dad just kind of chuckled and said, "Oh, well, that's too bad." And I thought, you know, unfortunately, we live in a world where people, you can obviously tell there's not a God anchor in their life, right? There's no filter, there's nothing, and never let loyalty and kindness leave you. And how, you know, we see now where, I mean, it's just, we're seeing even now more than ever, just an absolute collapse. And it's just like Romans, we'll talk about here in a moment, but there's just a collapse of people not holding on to the word, not valuing the things of the Bible, and now we're getting way off. It's almost like as if these things that are biblical truths are, an option, not something that is needed. And it's very vital, and we can see our civilization crumbling, and it's really because of a lack of biblical values. We're not relying and trusting in the Lord, we're trusting in our faith. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, New Living Translation. And these are some things we talked about last week. But in Ephesians 4:18 and 18 says, their minds are full of darkness and they wandered, here we go, far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. You know, that is the first sign, or how can I say, the symptom, things beginning to get off track, isn't it? Is darkness comes in when we shut ourselves, our minds and our hearts towards the Lord. They have no sense of shame. Wow, this is really kind of a mirror of what's going on today, isn't it? They live for lustful pleasure and eager to practice every kind of impurity. And it is a gateway. Once you start separating from the Word, you begin to separate for the things of God, you rebel. You know, some people get hurt by people in the church, what have you. That's an opening to move forward into some destructive behaviors, right? Proverbs 3:3, let's turn there. We're going to kind of bounce around some scriptures tonight. Oh, we were just there, but I want to turn back there. Proverbs 3:3. And we just read there, talking about the commandments of the Lord. Proverbs 3:3, tie them around your neck as a reminder, write them deep within your heart. Now, I was telling on myself today, but, you know, I took Emily today. We were driving along, this guy was weaving all over the road, and I just, like cars on the other side were going off the road. And I thought he was drunk or something. And so I had to remind myself of kindness today because my whole driving thing is, you know, I have to, that's my big flush button, right, is the driving thing, you know. And but I was so irate, and I had my GPS set up, and I had the, you know, this address, and everything's really complicated. But it's so funny because in an instant we can leave it, can't we? I mean, it just takes an instant, right? You can get in a situation, and all of a sudden, blah, something comes out of your mouth, and you're like, whoa, you know, or something. You're like, and you blow up. And I've had to go to the people in my house and say, I'm sorry. I don't know where that came from, right? Because even when you're walking with God, sometimes things trigger and just happens, doesn't it? And can you imagine people that aren't focusing on this? Like what it's like, right? I mean, I know what it was like before I came back to God and, you know, rededicated myself, you know, a long time ago. But, you know, when you're walking with Him, and if you're not focused on these things, you know, you can get really out of control, can't you? And we're seeing that all over the place. I mean, again, just on TV and everywhere. It's just we're seeing people that are so out of control, and these are the results of not valuing the Word of God and the things of God. And so it says, tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find, here we go, favor with both God and people. Interesting how there in Mark chapter 6, it says that Jesus had favor when he was 12 years old and he came out of the temple. What does it say? He said, had favor with what? God and man. Interesting that this is an exact quotation from that same time period. Because why? Because what was Jesus doing? He was talking about the law, wasn't he? He had a revelation, and it says they were marveled at how much revelation he had. Well, why? Because Jesus was taking the word and he's putting it deep in his heart, right? He was tying it around his neck. He was fulfilling the scripture. And because he was fulfilling the scripture, it says here that he had favor with God and with man. And that's a result of that, isn't it? Verse 5 is very, very, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know what? There's just sometimes I don't understand what's going on, but I just sense something. And it seems weird, but I just trust the Lord, right? I mean, can you imagine Joseph? I mean, we're in the middle of Joseph, right? We're reading that this week, and we're in the middle of reading Joseph. See, I'm going to quiz you. All right, I'm going to quiz you. But he had to, he was trusting God, wasn't he? I mean, it was so easy for him to get bitter. And when his when his brother, except for Reuben, he was like the guy that was like, whoa, we shouldn't be doing this. But the brother, but you know, it was so tempting for him to, throughout that whole process, to blame God, to get upset. Why is this not happening the way I want to? I had this vision, had these dreams, nothing's happening the way like you said it would. But at the end he says, hey, God knew, and God, you know, thrust me here ahead of all of you to save you. And it's trusting the Lord. Again, our charismatic minds and all of the, you know, sometimes people, they think that, you know, if you go through anything bad, then it must be you're out of faith or something's wrong. And it's like, well, if that's true, then the Apostle Paul was really screwed up and Jesus was really screwed up, right? Because they both are, you know, Jesus went through a lot of junk and persecution. It was awful, but he was in absolutely in the perfect will of God, right? So it doesn't mean we're not going to have bumps along the way, but what it means is we're going to have victory on the other end. The end of it is we're going to have victory. So again, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. People that, I mean, I believe in education, but I'll tell you, when I was in school and stuff, and it's just, you know, I mean, everything's got to be coagulated, and, you know, professors and stuff, it's got to have this, and got to have this, and got to have this, and it's got to be, you know, it's not exactly the way that it's in our little box. We can't think outside of that. Well, there's a lot of things that, you know, I just know the more I read, the more I don't know. You ever notice that? You know, the more I learn, the more I'm like, oh gosh, there's like all this stuff here I don't know now, right? You start learning about, you know, construction, and then it's like, oh man, there's all these other things, you know, like flooring. Well, there's vinyl flooring, and there's, you know, tile, and there's this, and how to do this, and how to do this, and it's just like, you know, like, well, I thought I had this figured out, and I've done these before, but wow, there's a whole nother realm out here. So, you know what? And the thing is, God knows more than we do. I know. I figured that out a long time ago, but we're in our flesh and we all struggle with that sometimes, right? We try to help God with things. Well, but if we did this, God, then if we did this, now trust in the Lord with all your heart, depend, and do not depend on your own understanding. Here we go. Seek his will in all you do. That's tough when you're young, right? I just remember, man, I got out of high school and everything. Man, I got these plans. I'm going to do this and awesome. It's going to be great. You know? And he will show you which path to take. You know, so it's so interesting is the path the Lord leads you down will be the most satisfying. When you talk to kids, I mean, you know, we even kind of deal with this a little bit in our household, too. It's like, okay, vegetables, need to eat vegetables, right? You know, we need to do this, we need to do this. And it's like, all of a sudden, the sugar disappears quick, you know? And it's getting those things about what you need, what you need is not necessarily what you want. You're like, can't eat that. Can't eat that. We got to eat healthy stuff, right? And I just remember Adrian, when the girls were really little, we were laughing so hard because we take the vegetables, you know, the baby food and everything, and you know, we're some tips for it, but we take that baby food and the spinach and everything, the girls would just be like, spit it back up, right? We just keep jamming it in. Because what, that fruit tastes good. Like, oh yeah, they just suck that thing down like crazy because it's sweet. But that spinach, we keep jamming it back in. Why? Because they need to receive a palate for the good things. And the same with us. The more you absorb the word, the more your palate will want it. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, you know, years ago, you know, all I wanted to be was in bars playing music all over the place. I just wanted to go and do all this other stuff. Now it's like, that is repulsive to me, right? Not that those we judge those people, but when I look at that, I recoil on the inside because my spirit man says, no, right? I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to be drinking alcohol. I don't want to be doing those things. I don't want to be doing those things. But I had to, through the word and through time, God changed me. And so again, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Turn away from evil. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. All these scriptures, I know it doesn't sound like it, but these scriptures that we're reading tonight are a result. We're seeing often the reason why we're seeing manifestations, all of these things in the world right now, is because of there's in the world system, you know, it used to be, it was kind of common knowledge where, you know, you'd be in the world and most people would honor, you know, the Bible or the Lord or things like that too. Even though if they weren't believers, they just kind of, you know, understood, you know, some biblical concepts. Now it's kind of like, you know, we don't want any part of that. Well, how's that working out for you? Not very good, right? Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says, forever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky through everything God made. They are clearly see the invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. Here we go. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. You know, the Lord really says that you can look out there and there's no excuse anymore for not having the revelation that there's a real God, right? And there's some really cool creationists out there that are really good. I mean, they just tear apart all of the evolutionary thinking. And we were in Tennessee with the Ark Encounter. If you've ever been there, please go. It's really cool. It's just an engineering marvel. You'd think about the Ark and just the waste removal systems that were implemented that Noah and his family put in there, and ventilation and water systems. This is like, it's an engineering marvel for back then, so it's really incredible. But when when you look at that, but I remember being at the Creation Museum and had a video of, and they were interviewing some university that was, believed in evolution and everything else too. And they mentioned about, you know, Christians and biblical, and her eyes just like a flame just shot across her eyes. Like she just instantly got angry. And I thought, ooh, those demons don't like the God part. So again, you know, it's just God is sitting here saying, you know what, you can look out everywhere and you can see everything. You can see that I have my fingerprints on everything. Verse 21 says, yes, they knew God, here we go, but they wouldn't worship him as God or give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. See, there's a pattern through all of these scriptures. When we, you know, deny the word, when we, you know, shut, darkness automatically starts coming into our lives, right? When we start shutting the word off from our life, when we disconnect ourselves, when we begin to do these things or deny God and everything else too, darkness automatically comes in. It's a cause and effect, right? It says, claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. Oh man, I so many people that I studied under that fit in this category. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worship idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. Well, let me tell you, we'll get to this in a minute. And then verse 24, so God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worship and serve the things that God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. You know, interesting a few things here too. I want to present this for your consideration. I believe that some people worship their political views over God and the Word, right? You see that? Right? I mean, they're, you ever try to talk to some of these people that, you know, are not maybe, you know, believe the Bible or anything else too? It doesn't matter. They worship their political view and they worship what they think. Right? You know, and then when you look at, when we get away from the Word, then everything is subject. You know, there's like, it's all, well, this depends on this, and this depends on this, and this depends on this. Instead of sticking with the Word and saying, okay, this is wrong, now it's kind of like, well, see, the darkness enters in. What about this? Murder is subject to the political winds of change, right? Depends on who it is, right? Or it depends on who's in office and who's in control, whether it's right or wrong. See, either murder is wrong, no matter what scenario or political view is going on, right? Or like right now, we see laws only are obeyed if it's in our best interest, right? We only submit to authority when it's in our best interest. Now, obviously, we see Hitler, we see people throughout history that do evil things. We're not saying that. What we are saying is, again, we don't have absolutes in life where we're sitting there going, you know, the Word of God is true. Now we're coming back and saying, well, everything's, how many people are doing, right, again, the most ridiculous things because of news and propaganda, right? They're seeing that, you know, right? So let's just, I'm going to get really political here, but let's say the orange man, Trump, he says something, people are going to do just the opposite, right? And even if it is biblical, even if it is right, see, it's all about the mindset. Or, you know, let's just say this, the world's views on morals and values as something is subject to whatever they believe at the time. But the Word says it never changes, right? The Word of God never changes. So murder is still murder, which is murder, which is murder, which is murder, right? But it changes because, well, my political party tells me so, or this person tells me so, or this person tells me so. And what happens is I change, and my viewpoints are changing constantly because I don't have a constant. And the only constant in this world is the Word of God. And when I walk away from the Word, or I don't choose the Word, then I am subject to just the wind, right? I have no anchor in life whatsoever. And we just read it's darkness is going to come into our life. And we see that people, a lot of people are living in darkness right now. Because again, if we aren't connected to the Word, if we won't stand up for that, we'll fall for anything. And we're seeing people who are falling for anything. People that claim to be intelligent and educated and everything else are just doing the most ridiculous things because they're not anchored in the Word. That's it. Verse 26, that is why God abandoned them in their shameful desires, right? God eventually comes to the point and says, okay, you can have your way. We see the parable of the prodigal son. What happened? The prodigal son, father's like, do what you want to. I mean, I can't control you, right? There's so many people. So that's what the lie is. They think that, you know, well, why would God let this happen? Are you kidding me? God can't control you. He can't control me. He has no control. I mean, you're kids. I mean, it's like they have free wills. You know, I know some people, they just, you know, they get so bound in shape. It's like, well, yes, terrible things are happening in the world because people make bad decisions, right? And let's skip down to 28. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full, here we go, of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed. I think we've seen a little bit of that in the news, haven't we? Hate, a lot of that, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, just a little bit of that. Malicious behavior and gossip, right? Isn't that interesting that it all comes and it stems from turning your back on God? Denying the Word, darkness comes in, All of a sudden, we're in perversion. Everything's out of control. And really, the whole point is when you read Genesis, the first chapter, that Hebrew word means void, or it means in chaos or out of order. But when the Holy Spirit was hovering upon the face of the waters, it says the world was what? In chaos and out of order. Right? And what's the devil do? Anytime we take the word out of our life, God is not in our life, disorder comes. You ever still have pop machines, right? I mean, we still have vending machines. Remember those, you know? Yeah, and we got those now. Remember, we used to do the old, you know, we were talking about, they had cigarette machines. Remember those? Yeah. They even had like cigarette vending machines. I remember being at Pizza Hut in our old hometown. You can get like a pack of smokes and stuff. I was like 14 years old, and I could have bought like 10 packs of smokes and walked off, you know, and nobody. Oh, yeah, yeah. I smoked them cigarettes in the Pizza Hut and, you know, had a buddy buy beer and they could, and whatever. I mean, it was just the Wild West back then. But anyway, but you know, you look at that and you get pop or you do something and then what? Well, I remember that they put a sign and it said out of order, right? It means all the goods are there, but it's not working and it's not functioning. And that's what the devil will do, and darkness comes in. It causes things to be out of order, which means it doesn't work properly, and it won't function the way it's designed to. And the Word of God will help us function the way that God has designed us to. When we pull back and we're not in the Word, when we ignore God, when we ignore these things, things become chaos. There's darkness that enters in. All of a sudden, we open ourselves up to things where we're seeing people all over. But guess what? We don't have to be like that, do we? Right? I look at the news and I'm like, that's not me. That's not going to be. That's not going to be my family. That's not going to be. I'm speaking. I'm believing right now, right? People want to act like that. They want to do those things. They want to open themselves up to these things. You know what? Let me just say something. Those people aren't happy. You know what? You know, I've never been in bars or drinking or I've been around people or anything. They're drinking and they're in sin and everything. They're not happy. I guarantee you right now. They don't have it together, okay? It's not a good day. It's not a good thing. You can do all these evil things because the end justifies the means, but you do whatever it takes to get your way when you're in this mindset. And you ever notice people too that are in this mindset, they do whatever it takes, but they're going to do things at your expense. Now, if we live in a world, and again, I like to use the, I can't remember the term, the philosophical term for it, but basically we all set ourselves up and we all did the same thing, right? You know, I mean, if everybody did abortion, we wouldn't be here, right? I mean, if everybody, you know, decided not to do the Word of God, and we all just live recklessly, guess what? If every person in this world did everything at the expense of another person, we would destroy ourselves. You know, it's really cool. I know Adrian and I are really getting into, Adrian's been really listening to a lot of those NDA, near-death experiences, NDA, that's another financial term. Sorry, it's like thinking of something else. So it's like whatever. You know. That thing, you know, near death experience. Yeah, like, all these acronyms and stuff. NDA. NDE. It's really cool because, you know, one of the guys in there, and he was a professor. He was an art professor. And, you know, he was talking about he was in Paris. They were on a trip. And one thing or another, he, you know, had some stomach issues, found out that it was a hole in his stomach, and he was basically digesting himself. And anyway, ended up dying, was getting dragged to hell, and called on Jesus' name. The Lord rescued him. And anyway, he's sitting there talking to the Lord, and he goes, what do you want to know? And he's having this conversation with the Lord. What do you want me to do? And he said, just love people. And he goes, okay, yeah, but after that, but what do you want me to do, right? And see, it's just like it doesn't register. Because if every person loved each other, as opposed to this scripture in Romans, we just read, how would that impact people, right? Because I always think about things like, too, you know, I'm around other people, and, you know, you've got kids, and you're watching things, and you're thinking, you know, what are those parents doing? You know, I mean, they're like, are they training their kids up at anything? You know, they're like out of control, meaning just really mean to people, and it's just like, you know, you're like, oh, Lord Jesus, help them, help those kids, right? But you're thinking, if we all came together and said, we're gonna actively do this and walk in this, what would the world be like, right? And I mean, there have been things in my life where I just walked away from them. I'm like, I can't have any part of this, you know? We'll close here in just a few minutes. It says, verse 30, they are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, boastful. They invent ways, new ways of sinning. They disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises, are heartless, have no mercy. See, this is a result of pulling away from the Word of God, right? Pulling away from the things of God. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. It's amazing how many times, you know, when I do things, everybody always wants me to go with them. You ever notice that? You know? When I'd be doing things, you know, like drinking, I was like, everybody's like, go with me. You know, do this with me. It's always, you always want somebody to validate your actions too. So again, you see the pattern, pride in ourselves, become fools, leads to perversion and eventually destruction. And this isn't to depress anybody, but it just comes back to this. It's so important to stay with God, right? Because there's mercy. You know, God has mercy. But I always think too, you know, listen to these NDE experiences and things like that too. You know, things can happen just like that. We're here, we're gone. You know? You always have this when you're young, you know, you're just starting life, you think you're invincible, you know, like me. I'm in great health, and, you know, everything's great, you know, feeling really good, and, you know, and I look back now, and I'm like, well, let's see, I should have died here, should have died here, should have died here, should have died here. This wasn't good, you know, just doing stupid stuff. What would happen if I would have died at that time, you know? Would I have had time to cry out to him? What about, I don't know. There's no guarantee in any of this. And so, let's look at Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 16, and these are the things that God hates. There's all these patterns here. Patterns and patterns and patterns and patterns. See, God wants us to do these, to pass these on to the next generation. Devil wants the world to pass his garbage on to the next generation. It's always the next generation is going to receive something. They're going to receive some things from God, or they're going to receive the things from the enemy, right? Verse 16, there are six things that the Lord hates, no, seven things he detests. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil. A lot of that going on. Feet that race to do wrong. Man, there's all kinds of these people all over the place, right? A false witness who pours out lies. A person who sows discord in a family. My son, obey your father's commands and don't neglect your mother's instructions. Keep their words always in your heart. Tie them around your neck. You see that? Tie them around your neck. Get them close. Put them in you. Have them in front of you. Why? Because darkness comes. And then perversion. And then, you know, eventually it's going to be death. There are some things too. I remember years ago we were starting the church. And, you know, I don't, I mean, I believe that, you know, people should, you know, work hard, be able to, you know, really take care of your family and be blessed. I'm all for that. But I remember we were starting the church, and then they wanted me to start working Sundays and do all this other stuff. And it was like, no. And I thought, no, I'm going to be in church. I'm going to have a job that's not going to take me from the Lord. I'm going to stick with Him, right? And I gave up an opportunity. I'm like, no, forget it. I'm putting God first and everything. You know, if you have vacation, and I'm not, you know, saying things like that. But for the most part, you know, I've walked away from things because I thought, you know what, this interferes with what I want to do with my relationship with the Lord, with my assembling myself together with the believers, because, you know, we need each other. I think that's a big deception too many people have. They're like, well, I don't need church, you know, these people. I want to watch online. Well, good. Call that person online when your kid needs to get married, or when you have a death in the family, and maybe a parent dies at some point down the road, hopefully when they're really, really old. And then, you know, like I have had people before call in, they'll call me, or they've known me, or I grew up with them or something. Hey, can you do my wedding? Who's your pastor? Well, I don't go to church. Oh, okay. Why don't you just go to Justice of Peace? Right? I mean, why are you calling me? You know? It's just something to look good. They get mad at me. I'm thinking, why are you calling me? I mean, I want to help people. But on the other hand, it's kind of like, I just want you to do this thing for me right now. You know, are you going to be accountable to anybody? You know, that's the thing where... And some of these people, I'm just going to watch this preacher on TV. Well, I guarantee you, Kenneth Copeland is not going to come visit you in the hospital. So I'm just telling you, right, I like Kenneth Copeland. I love Kenneth Copeland. I love these people, but guess what? They're busy. And that's not who they are. They're not a pastor. They're not, they've got their calling, and I love these Jesse Planets. I love them. But they're not going to come visit you in the hospital. You need people around you. I need people around me that are believers too. Amen? And it's not because anyway, if you're not out serving people and helping other people in the body, it's called the Dead Sea, right? It's inflow, but there's no outflow. And that's where we need to get ourselves and say, hey, I'm here to serve, here to be a blessing to people, because I can't do everything myself, right? That's why I'm believing for some point we're going to have more praise and worship people, you know, be able to help out and do those things, and we're going to have a big kids program again, all these good things. But it's good. Back to Proverbs chapter 3, and we'll kind of close here. Proverbs chapter 3, these are the blessings. These are some good things that are going to happen. God is interested in every part of you, your spirit, your soul, and your body, right? When we accept Christ as Lord and Savior, he redeems our spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We are now a new creature. Behold, all things become new. Romans 12, 1 and 2, we're to what? Renew our mind, and our body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, right? Here we see Proverbs chapter 3, verse 8, and it says, then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I don't know about you, but when we got to eat and stuff, I pray over my food because I used to work in a restaurant, okay? How many of you worked in a restaurant? Anybody work in a restaurant? Okay? I was like a 16-year-old kid, and I worked in a restaurant. And I'm telling you what, after working there, it's like, you better be praying, right? You need to have faith. Brian sent me something that was really funny. It was like people were like, well, I don't need Jesus. What was that? You need Jesus to go to Walmart, right? It's like, I need Jesus just to put my pants on in the morning. I mean, you know, I need God for everything, right? And... that's where I'm kind of my point. I'm like, Lord Jesus, help me down these steps today. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, you know. And so, you know, we need Jesus to go to Walmart, don't we? We need Jesus to go to Target. We need Jesus everywhere. And so, I thought that was funny. Then you have health in your body and strength for your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats with overflow with good wine. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline, and don't be upset when he corrects you. There have been sometimes the Lord, I mean, you know, when I was when I came back to him, it was just like all the times, like, oh, Lord, I love you, and all these things. And I was just like, oh, so wonderful, so wonderful, so wonderful. And then as I matured and got more close with him, you know, things like, you know, we still have that, we still do have that good relationship. But sometimes, you know, have ever, what's that that skit that we laugh about all the time with Bob Newman or Newhart? It's called Stop It. If you haven't seen it, go look it up. Okay, it's really funny. And he's a psychologist. Anyway, he's on there. And the gal is, you know, he's like, well, I take $5. And it's this funny skit. And you know who Bob Newhart is. He's a comedian. But anyway, but he's a psychologist. And he's sitting there. And he goes, I've got two words for you. And the lady says, you want me to write them down? He goes, I think you'll remember them. And she's having like this chewing her fingernails and all these other problems she's having. And he goes, stop it. And that was it, right? And that's what sometimes I hear the Lord tell me sometimes, just stop it. Don't do that. And as you get closer to somebody, they can just tell you, right? Nader and I were dating. It was like, you know, now it's like, she's just like, you need to change clothes. I'm telling her. And there, you know, she just tells me the way it is. And that's okay, you know. But she's just like, you know, are you really going to? I know. Guys, you know that look where you're sitting there and your wife might rock at the door and she gives you the up and down thing, you know? You're like, okay, I need to change. Something's bad here. I mean, I'm getting the are you sure look. But you know what? The thing, when the Lord tells me these things, I don't argue. I say, okay, Lord, you're right. I do. Help me change this. Help me adjust some things, right? Because, you know, even though I've come a long way in my relationship with God, I know I still want to develop with him, right? I'm still not where I really ultimately want to be. It's like I keep continuing to get closer to that. But we're all on a path, right? We're all moving forward to that goal. And the thing is that years ago, when I walked with the Lord, those things that I did, I didn't, you know, they weren't, I didn't, how can I say, I weren't convicted of some things. Now, you know, several years later, I look back and it's like, I could never do that. I could never listen to that. I could never want, you know, there are things that now I'm just like, I don't want any part of that. It's because God, through his chastening, because he loves me, he's bringing me through a fire. He's refining me. And that's where, you know, tonight, place yourself under his care. Get into the word. Get into some things here. And then he says, for the Lord corrects those he loves. You know, if God is chasing you, and I believe even tonight, when we're speaking this word, he's chasing us. He's saying, come back to me better than ever, right? And just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. You know what? God loves us, and that's why he corrects us. He wants us to grow up. You know, we got some people that got driver's license yesterday. So, you know, they're really cool. Everybody's awesome. But you know what? We had those times where we were in the car, like, don't turn there. Don't turn. And I grab the wheel and do this and everything. And it's not because I'm saying that they're awful or they're terrible, but it's like, why? I'm developing them to be good drivers. Now they do a really good job. So I'm really proud of them. They're doing really well. So, but it's just, it takes time to develop into anything. And, you know, God loves us. And he wants us, and we can look at some things and say, hey, you know, we can see terrible things are going on in the world, but you know what? We look at that and say, thank God I got Jesus. I mean, thank you, Lord. Not that I'm any better than anybody else. We're not saying that, but God is great. Jesus is wonderful, right? Any ounce of sanity that I have or any kind of joy or any kind of peace in my life, it all comes from the Lord. Amen. It's not me. It's not me because I'm a spitfire and I can just blow up in nothing flat. But the Lord helps me and he'll help you, helps all of us, gives us peace, gives us comfort, reassurance. And then when we do miss the mark, hey, just pick up, move on with him. You know, just don't get in condemnation, repent and move on. Hallelujah. But get in his word because we don't want to enter into darkness and all of those bad things. Like we said, when we turn our hearts away from him, but when we connect with him, that's when the joy and the peace and the healing, like we just read, the healing and the blessings come. And not only that, but we're, you know, you want to be healthy, you know, because I, you know, people are always like, well, it's God's will for, you know, you to be sick. You're right. He wants you to rack up doctor bills. He wants you to miss work. He wants you to be in constant pain. Are you kidding me? No, he wants us blessed. He wants us physically blessed. He wants us emotionally stable. He wants us to have healthy families. And he wants us to have our needs met. Amen? That's God's will for us. And to spread that to other people and to help other people come into the ark as well. Amen? Father, we come before you. We just thank you so much for your word. Blessings, Holy Ghost, you're so precious to us. We love you so much. I just pray tonight that as we enter in and we continue to read the word in the word every day, God, that we thank you that lives are being changed, that your word, you're changing people through your word, and Holy Spirit, that you're anointing the word as we read it and we connect with you, and we love you, we thank you, in Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, have a great week, everybody.